What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 452, and we are back after our week hiatus. Of course, with me is my esteemed co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Esteemed, even.
Esteemed. You are esteemed.
Yeah. I feel a little steamy. It's starting to get warm here. We've had like a ton of rain.
Okay.
Which, like, side note, we have this reservoir that like supports our city, and it's been down like 8 feet
last year,
and like we have water restrictions, so you can't like water your yard, all those types of things. Well, you can water one day a week, but all this rain in the last like 3 weeks across it has filled that thing back up. So it's like amazing. We had a bunch of flooding and storms and stuff, but now it's really hot, and so now all that moisture is still around and it's steamy. So yes,
you've been gone for a while. Yeah, I was gone for a week, and I was on the East Coast, and it was so hot. It was like a heat wave. I was getting all these heat warnings, all this stuff, and it was pretty bad.
What was the temperature?
Like 93.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was hot, but it wasn't the humidity wasn't as bad as like when I was in Taiwan. Like that was
I'm sure.
Yeah, but it was pretty bad. But yeah, we were gone for a week. We are back, and this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Inwin. I saw a lot of really cool Inwin stuff at Computex. I know Ryan wasn't there, but we'll tell you real quick about their Prism Mid Tower. This is one really, really good looking case, and you can see it here in the black. It's actually going to be available soon in white as well. And unlike the Tau, which this is actually based off of, that used to be all glass. This one actually has the ventilation in the front, so you are going to get proper cooling. Nice. And this is a very affordable case as well. So definitely check it out. It's in-win.com. Thank them, of course, for sponsoring this episode. And we have a lot to talk about this week, I think, since we were gone for a week. Some pretty cool reviews. I took a look at a new headset that I'm actually wearing right now.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
And Ryan took a look at a gaming mouse, and there's a bunch of news, two new graphics cards, one that we'll never see here in the United States, and another one, which many people are not very excited for because it's on the super, super low end. But we'll talk about that and some really cool gaming stuff as well. So we do have our full show notes page right here. So if you do want to go ahead and follow along, it's all right here. As we talk about things, you can go ahead and click through and get more information. Or if you are listening to this on audio, if you hear us talking about something, you can reference the show notes later to get more information. So let's start with, of course, this gaming headset, which it's like very aesthetically pleasing, which I like.
It is nice, yeah.
And it is a gaming headset, but it's not very gamer-esque, as you can tell. So this is actually from Fractal Design. It's their first gaming headset. So they've never really made an audio product. And the interesting thing about this is that this was actually, I believe, previewed first at Computex 2024. So almost a year ago.
Wow.
Okay. So they've been working on this for quite a long time. I have like the lighter version. It comes in a dark version, which is all black. But as you can see, we have the lighter version, which is gray. And then you have these really nice fabric ear cups here that are super, super comfortable. Like I said, as I'm wearing this, incredibly comfortable headset. And I think we have a full video too that is on our YouTube channel if you want to check that out. But I really think that they did such a good job with this headset in a lot of reasons. And I think one of them is the aesthetics. Like if you look at this headset, it's just very, very like aesthetically pleasing headset. It's actually pretty light too, 330 grams. And as you can see in this photo, like you can bend the headset. So it's not going to feel stiff on your head or anything like that. So it's going to be very comfortable here as well. And I really like that. Like, have you ever had a headset that just has like just way too much cushioning? It's just like a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they've kind of got this pretty perfect. So at the top in the headband, there is a little bit of cushioning, but not a lot, just enough to give you that little bit of separation so you don't get any like aggravation on the top of your head. And like I said, the ear cups here have, it's almost like a memory foam, and then it's covered in the fabric. And I actually like fabric over something like a leather because the fabric is more breathable. Your ears don't get as hot. And in my opinion, it's a lot more comfortable as well. So you have that. Now, you're going to get two essential parts of this whole setup. You're going to get the headset here itself. So we have the headset. It does have a metal frame, if you're wondering. So it's pretty high quality. And then this is a wireless headset. So you are going to have a lot of controls on the headset itself. So there's actually, they call this a control crown. It's sort of like I said, like you can see it. It's like right here. Very easy to access too, because it's like, it's not just a button. It's almost like a dial. And that dials your volume. And then you can press it in, and that's going to play pause as well. You have a microphone mute button, and then you have your selection switch. So this does come with a 2.4 gigahertz dongle. You can also use this Bluetooth. You can also plug it in with the included USB cable and you use it USB. So you have three ways to use this, which is great. And then there's a power button as well right here. And then on the opposite side, we do have a light button. So this is going to change the lighting on the headset. There is some lighting, kind of hard to see, but it is there, very subtle. This is your like EQ button. There are three preset EQs. This just cycles through them. And then there's indication LEDs letting you know which EQ mode that you are on. And then there is a USB right here, you know, for either to charge it up or use it in USB mode. Detachable microphone, you can see it right here, goes down like this, comes back up. When you put it up, it does auto mute, and nice. If you hit the button while it's down and it's muted, there's a red LED that lets you know that it's muted. And then you can fully like just take the entire thing off, as you can see. And it's not a big deal, but I've had gaming headsets with detachable mic where like you can put it in backwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This one, it's slotted, so you can only put it in the correct way. So I like that as well. It's an omnidirectional microphone. You can bend it too, so you can bend it closer or further away from your mouth. So like I said, good build quality in the headset and everything like that. But I think the thing that really brings this headset together is actually the wireless docking station. So you get this docking station, which again, allows you to dock the headset. So you put your headset down in this. And then these two side pieces, which have the fabric, which again looks awesome, those will actually charge the headset. So you put, you know, you never like with wireless headsets over the years that I've had, it's like, oh, I forgot to charge it. All right.
Right.
You know, I have to find a USB or whatever. This, you just put it down and it charges. And when you put it down, it turns the headset off too. So you don't, and when you pick it back up, it turns the headset on. So yeah,
I love this dock. Nice. That's awesome.
There's magnets. So you can only put it in one way. You'll never put it in backwards. There's a little cutout right here as well for if you have the microphone attached. And the cool thing about this wireless docking station, this is also where you are going to plug in the included 2.4 gigahertz dongle. It plugs right into the bottom here, which again, makes it really, really easy too. If you want to take this headset with you somewhere and you're not going to bring the docking station, you can just pull the receiver here out, you know what I mean? Which is really, really nice. And it keeps it away from like the type C connection on your motherboard. There's a lot of interference there. So really, really like that. This is what it kind of looks like when it is docked, as you can see, but that brings the whole thing together. I think that is what really makes this headset. So many times I've like forgot to charge a headset or like, I just like you misplace the wireless dongle and this has everything together. You won't lose it because it's the big charging station. So really, really like that.
I like that, the charging feature, but then another like byproduct feature is that you don't have to have it on a headphone stand and then you get the little indent in the foam on top, right? From the headset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like double plus goodness, whatever. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, so really, really like that. Another thing I really like about this is that just like what we saw with their Meshify 3 case in their RGB controller, all of the controls for the headset, as far as software goes, it's all web-based. So you don't have to download any bloated software or anything like that. All you do is just go to adjust.fractaldesign.com, brings this up, and then you can go in and change you have a parametric equalizer. You have your three different settings or three different EQ modes. You can add more. You can adjust them if you want really, really easily. You can go in and change like, some microphone settings like your side tone. If you want microphone noise cancellation on, you can test your microphone. And then you could go into the lighting settings. It's very much like what we saw on the Meshify 3. But as soon as you save it, it's saved to the headset. You won't have to, like, again, you don't have to have this like website open all the time or anything like that. Everything's just saved to the headset. So I really, really like that. I think more companies just need to go this route, because we've seen so many times that software gets super, super bloated. And this just solves that problem. If you want to see the RGB lighting a little bit, here's some more photos of the different RGB effects or patterns that they have. But you can make your own. You can kind of do whatever. But it's very subtle. But I really like this headset. I think they've kind of just put it all together. And for their first audio product and their first real gaming headset, it's a really good first entry. The microphone sounds good. I have sound tests here. And one thing that's also nice about this, if you detach the microphone and then you take the headset with you, you're like, oh, I forgot the mic. There are built-in microphones on the ear cups. They're not that great, but they will like get the job done if you happen to forget the detachable microphone. So really, really like it. A few other things is 40 to 50 hours if you have the RGB lighting off, as far as like, you know, play time, 20 hours if you have RGB lighting on. And if you charge it for 15 minutes, it will give you 3 hours of play time. So those are some of the other things. Pricing wise, it's going to be $199. Like I said, I think with everything that you're getting, the wireless charging and everything like that, and the quality, audio quality. And one thing I do want to mention too, I really didn't talk about like how the actual headset sounds. I think out of the box, it's one of the better tuned headsets. A lot of times you really have to go into the software and like really tune it and change things around. Out of the box, this is tuned really, really well, has really deep bass. And even though this is not a surround sound headset, there's no virtual surround sound, but I was playing Apex Legends and I can easily like identify where enemies are coming from. And the audio quality is good. It makes you feel immersed in your game. So like I said, overall for their first gaming headset, this is really good. I think the price is fine. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. And our recommended award. The only thing I didn't like is there's no lay flat design. So if you wanted to take this with you, a lot of times you'll have headsets where like the ear cups kind of fold, so you can lay it flat like in a backpack, or like lay it flat like maybe if you take the headset off and like rest it on your shoulders. And again, no surround sound or virtual surround sound. That would have been a nice addition just to give you a little bit more kind of like sound awareness when you're playing, especially like FPS games and things like that. But overall, really, really good headset. Definitely check out the review and check out our video on our YouTube of it. Yeah, just really, really nice. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And then Ryan, you took a look at a gaming mouse.
I did. Let me share this here. Should be shared.
There we go.
Pop it up there.
Oh, wait a minute. There we go. We know how to podcast.
All right. So yeah, I took a look at the HyperX Pulsefire Saga Pro. It is a wireless gaming mouse. And in this picture here, you're like, well, it looks like you have two mice. Well, yes and no. We'll get to that here in a second. So pretty standard Pulsefire gaming mouse. In fact, I've looked at most recently, the Pulsefire Haste 2 Pro wireless. And like the components are essentially the same. You got the same sensor, similar buttons. Just so it was like, I know the performance of this mouse. What makes it different than the Pulsefire Haste, right? Like the Haste is designed to be a lightweight mouse. This isn't necessarily lightweight in nature, but it is still pretty light. It's actually not a heavy mouse by any means. But the really cool thing about this is it's modular, and you get some additional components with this mouse that you don't typically get with another mouse. And then you can actually create your own body and mouse and kind of accessories for this, which I think is really cool. So coming with that mouse, like I mentioned, we have your standard accessories. They've done this with all of the Pulsefire mice that I've taken a look at recently. You get those grips for your left and right mouse buttons, as well as the left and right sides of the mouse. I like those for the left and right sides, and I'm glad they include them. They've also got some additional replacement feet for the bottom of the mouse. So if you wear them out, they get snagged on something for some reason, you can swap those out, which I really like. And just I'm happy that they keep including them. You also get a really nice, lightweight, super flexible cable that goes along with this. The mouse does have USB Type-C connectivity at the front, so you can use it in wired mode like that or use it to charge the mouse. And then they've got their pretty standard puck that kind of weights down the included 2.4 gigahertz dongle on your desk. So again, kind of like Bob was talking about with the headset receiver being away from those USB ports, same thing here. You can use this cable to move that away from your PC and closer to your mouse so you get the best signal possible. But there is also Bluetooth connectivity for this mouse as well. So we've got multiple connectivity options, just like that headset. Moving along here, the mouse by default comes let's step back. It's a very basic looking mouse. Like, you look at this thing out of the box and you're like, I mean, there's nothing special about it, right? It's a all black mouse. There's no like big RGB lighting zones. There's no cutouts for lightweight, you know, functions
what's,
and features.
What's the weight? What's the normal?
I've got it in there. I think it's like, I had the box here and I put it away because I, let me see if I have it in the specs here. I'm 99% sure that I do. Da, da, da. Okay, that is not right because it is not 2.5 ounces. I'll have to find it for you because I am forgetting now. 72 grams. Yeah, there it is.
Okay, so it's not super heavy, but also not super light.
Exactly. But yeah, it's a pretty basic looking mouse, right? You can see from the intro picture here, very, very basic. You've just got your standard left thumb buttons here. You've got a forward and a backwards, and then on the right side, nothing, right? Again, I'm one of those people that's going to use those grip pieces that come along with it to get a little extra grip there. But one thing you will notice is there's like this seam in between the front portion of the mouse and the back shell body, and that is on both sides of the mouse. And what that allows for is the ability to remove that shell and the mouse buttons very easily. So before I get to that, we'll just show you the bottom real quick. Again, this is before I removed the film, just taking pictures, but this is where we're going to find our DPI button, which is on the bottom of the mouse as opposed to on top of it, where we see that on most of the other mice that they have. The reason they do that is because they don't want to interfere and get in the way of those shell swapping and everything, right? It's easier for them to put that button on the bottom. You've also got your switch for your connectivity options on the bottom there as well. And a hole for the 2.4 gigahertz dongle is underneath the top shell, which we'll get to here in a second. And you also see some magnets up top. And that's because it comes with an additional body and set of buttons. So this back section pulls off real easy. But it's held on with magnets, so it's held on with just like the right amount of force. It doesn't fall off. It doesn't feel loose by any means.
Okay, it doesn't feel loose. That's
no, not at all. Yeah, they've got some channels built into the body of the mouse, so it kind of slides into those. And then at the back of the shell and the body of the mouse, those magnets keep it in place. Same thing with the buttons.
Okay.
So the buttons, it's kind of cool. By default, it comes with the convex buttons here, but they also give you a concave set of buttons, which I prefer. So cool. I swap those out. Yeah, it, you know, just gives you a little bit of an option as far as comfort,
or like goes. Just like different game, like I know people are like, I'm pretty weird when it comes to like I'll use a certain keyboard for a certain thing.
Yeah,
like you really don't see that with mice because you're like, oh, maybe like I just use the same mouse, but like maybe for one type of game you use like the convex, and then for the other type of game you use the concave. So that would be
And so I mentioned additional components for this. You can actually 3D print components. Now, I will say my print for the buttons was horrible, and I just didn't go back and print another set. So these lines drive me nuts. This filament, I think it needed to dry a little bit because the green worked great, and I printed these one right after the other. So this is a filament issue in my opinion here. So, but like I printed a new body that they provide here, and I actually printed a full inner body as well. So they give you kind of like a I'll just show it here. we want to pop me up to the main picture. So I printed in gold filament here, just like a shell of the body, right? So it's got essentially everything you would need to test out additional pieces on here. So I'm just going to slide like this green body and kind of gives you some fitment, you know, results so you can see exactly what you want. But yeah, I've got the actual mouse here that just pulls off super easy, and I can take that 3D printed one, pop it on there. That's fit cool. And finish is great, right? And if I want to switch out the buttons, these are just held on by magnets as well.
Okay,
so then you can swap those in and out. Super easy. I really like it.
Nice.
But they give a ton of, push all these pieces to the side here. They give you like a ton of options. And they actually paired up with Prusa Printables.
Okay.
And hang on a second. Yeah, Prusa Printables. So they had a contest where they said, hey, design like different components and bodies for it. And they gave away like the mouse and 3D printers and stuff. And like people came up with some wild buttons. Like for some reason,
I saw some of those.
Like this was first place. I'm not a big fan of this design here. Like it's like not practical by any means, but it is very creative, right? But this person designed like a wrist rest that goes along with the mouse, right? That's cool. Attached to the body, which I thought was kind of cool, you know, Minecraft mods and just all sorts of options that people designed their own for this contest. But they also provide over 30 official HyperX components different shells and bodies and things like that. And you can download them. They're all for free. So you can print them off in whatever color and, you know, make tweaks to them, all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was a pretty cool feature of this mouse. Now, as far as like performance goes and everything, it's just like the Pulsefire like Haste 2 Pro. I was super happy with it. I've played Rivals and Apex with it. No issues with any of it. I actually prefer the body that I printed off because it's more of an asymmetrical shape. The default bodies that come with it are actually just a little ergonomic and curved for right-handed use. And I prefer a non-ergonomic shaped mouse.
Okay.
So I actually swapped it out to that. And I used that body the whole time once I had, you know, got it printed and fitted and really enjoyed it. Utilizes their Ingenuity software. So just like all the other mice, we've got real simple. I really like Ingenuity for the most part. You've got options there to adjust the lights, the buttons, and how they're configured and what actions they take when you press them. And you can also adjust that sensor. So real basic, but it gives you access to everything you need. You know, like I said, there's not a ton of quirky features, no major lighting zones with this other than the mouse button, or I'm sorry, the scroll wheel. So just real basic control and configuration of this mouse via Ingenuity. Moving on to the conclusion here. Yeah, like I said, I used it with Rivals and Apex. Really liked it. This just kind of shows, yeah, that printed design that I had done there, which you can use for like prototyping and stuff. But this is kind of the final layout that I had started to use.
Nice.
But yeah, I gave this a 8 out of 10. It just has that single RGB zone, and additional components are required. I'm sorry, a 3D printer is required for those additional components, right? So if you don't have a 3D printer, you may have to like get with a friend and say, hey, here's this file. Can you print this out for me in this color or filament?
Yeah.
But like the price of those components once printed, like it's like nothing. So you can, you know, if your buddy's like an actual friend, they should probably just print these for free because they don't use a ton of filament. But I think that's really cool options there that you can print them off. Like I said, most of those items.
I like the idea like that
less than 2 hours.
It even comes with like different options, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It comes with two different sets of buttons, and it comes with two different like palm rests. Yep.
Yeah, so, two palm rests here. You got the two sets of buttons. You actually have another set of thumb buttons as well. The difference between them was very hard to notice, I thought. I put them like right next to each other. You know how small thumb buttons are anyways.
Yeah.
They're not very big. Like putting them next to each other and on the mouse, like there's not a huge difference, but I like that they're included as well.
Like I said, I like the idea that even if I don't have a 3D printer, like I can kind of swap them and,
oh, absolutely.
And decide, you know, and again, it gives you the ability to just like for different games and different play styles, you can... Yep. choose which one you like. And then maybe you're like, okay, there's this, you know, maybe I can, like I said, if you don't have a 3D printer, you can ask a buddy, or like, there's even places where you
your can library or maker.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Or something. So I like that. It's really cool. So
yeah, $120, which I think is really fair because you're getting a really nice gaming mouse that's got proven hardware. We've seen
in
previous versions. Plus you're getting the extra components included as well. So yeah.
Nice. Very, very cool. We'll definitely go ahead and check out Ryan's review. I will move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have the Tough Gaming GT502 Horizon build from none other than Sneff Computer Design, who's one of my favorites. This build is just... Well, my thing isn't working. That's weird. Let's see. We can bring one of these up. No. Well, I can't bring up the photos now. That's awesome. Let's try.
Modify it.
That's really weird. It just brings up the article. Well, we'll just look at the main photo. Yeah, it's really odd. I've never had that happen before. But in any case, Sneff Computer Design did a build here in the Tough Gaming GT502 Horizon. And this is sort of like a silver and blue build, which I think goes really, really well together. You can see the custom front reservoir as well as one down here, which acts as like a distro plate at the bottom. I wish I could show you the photos. And then those Lee and Lee fans that have the screens in them, which look great. Clear tubing here, so maybe not my favorite because I like the frosted tubing. But overall, I think this looks really good. You have that heat killer block as well, which looks really, really sick. With just like the LEDs going through in the center here, which I think looks good. What do you think about this one, Ryan?
Yeah, no, it's a good just all around build. Nothing too wild, but also a lot of craftsmanship in just those custom pieces and just the layout and thinking of it. I was looking at that memory. It's the T-Force Extreme White. It almost looked like it had like the round. At first, I thought it might be a fan on there.
No,
on the side of the memory or no, like a screen. I think it's probably just a logo.
Yeah, it's just a logo. Yeah, I've seen that memory. It's just a logo. But yeah, awesome, awesome build here from Sneff. I'll go back, guys, and fix the page because I don't know why it's not linking the images. But yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. Shout out to Sneff for that one. We'll move into news, and we have a new NVIDIA graphics card.
All right.
An RTX 5050.
Yeah.
Who's excited for the RTX?
There's a consumer group that will be excited for this, right?
Yes. Starting at $249, coming in the second half of July here. This is based on the Blackwell GB207 chip, 2560 CUDA cores, 8 gigabytes of GDDR6, 128-bit memory interface, 130 watts TGP on that one. And there is going to be a laptop version, $249. I don't like these graphs from NVIDIA, really, because, you know, it's like with DLSS and everything, but... Right. This gives you an idea of the performance, I guess, because these are all with like DLSS and all that on. But in any case, we have a new entry level. This is the new generation of entry level. And like Ryan said, there is a market for this. $250 is very affordable. This is definitely going to be a 1080p low settings or 1080p esports type of card.
I mean, you know, turn on frame generation and I think
well, that's the thing I think that you will get with this is that because it is going to have things like DLSS4 and everything like that in frame generation, if you are upgrading from like an older 20 series sort of like entry level card to this, or even like think about a 1060.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you would take you're going to get a lot better you know, again, performance in titles that have frame generation and things like that. I don't think a lot of people are excited for this. I think even if you go up to a 5060 or 5060 Ti, you're going to get a lot better performance. But like I said, it's there coming out in the second half of July. I would expect all the AIBs. They already announced a ton of cards.
Yeah.
So yeah, nothing crazy. I don't know if there's going to be a Founders. I would really not think there would be. This is also going to be a really good card that you're going to see in like a lot of pre-builds, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
We saw like so many pre-builds, especially when things were a little bit harder to get with like the Intel cards. So this is going to be like a kind of competitor to that, I think. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, just not.
There were some even like smaller cards that we saw. Like I saw one from Zotac that was like a kind of reminded me of my GTX 970 Mini. Asus had like a real thin one as well, so that's kind of cool. You can get away with some of those designs a lot easier.
Yeah, you're gonna see smaller cards and like a lot of like small form factor builds that maybe are like a living room PC or something like that. Yep. Where you don't need crazy power. It was going to be really good for that as well. So but moving on to larger cards, there's going to be an RTX 5090 double D. So I guess they just probably like couldn't think of another name for this.
I guess. So
if you guys don't know, NVIDIA put out an RTX 5090D to kind of like circumvent the export restrictions to China. So it was a China-only graphics card. Well, the United States government essentially updated those restrictions. So NVIDIA couldn't sell the 5090D anymore in China. They were given a set of specifications. So now they made a new card based on those specifications. So it's the RTX 5090 Double D. And the Double D will have like a memory downgrade. So it's going to have 24 gigabytes of GDDR7 opposed to the 32 gigabytes that you got with like a normal RTX 5090. It's going to use the GB202-4-240 GPU. Essentially, it's just a little bit different GPU. And then the PCB, of course, is going to be different to support different size memory because the memory layout's different. But that's essentially what it is. And again, the 5090Ds are essentially gone in China. So there's going to be like a couple months before this hits market where like there will be no 5090s available in China. But yeah, that's kind of what it is. Yeah, again, it's just going to be sold in China. So it's not like,
yeah
we're going to see it.
It's interesting that, you know, that like they just will tweak in response to.
You have to think that, I mean, that's one of one of their biggest markets.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're obviously they don't want to upset the U.S. government because they don't want to lose any. You know, in the end, I think they are trying to work with the U.S. government because the U.S. government wants a lot of that production to come here or out of China as well. So, like I said, it's just going to be a lower performance 5090, less memory and everything like that. So, but talking about the 5090, there was a really interesting test. And at Computex, we saw the new BTF connector from Asus. If you're not familiar, that is their graphics card that has the extra fingers on it so that it can be used with one of their BTF motherboards. And since this started, I've always said, you know, because the power for the graphics card goes through the motherboard and to that connector. So I've always said, and if you're not sure what I'm talking about, like this is the extra fingers that are on the end of the graphics card, and then it connects like right there. And this connector that you see right here goes into the motherboard and all the power gets run through that. And I always said like, that's just like a lot of power to be going through your motherboard just in general, even as like a connector. But they were, it was tested and they put 1900 watts through that connector.
Damn.
And there was no issues.
That's wild.
Yeah. So all of the me, I would say I was a naysayer as far as like, I just didn't feel comfortable putting a lot of power through my motherboard. This, it seems to be okay. And 1900 watts is a lot of power. And you're wondering like, why is Asus doing this? This is their BTF, which means all the connectors on the motherboard are on the back. So you don't have all the cable mess. And then with a graphics card, you know, with any graphics card, you'd have that 12 VH PWR power connection, right, with a power cable. All that is put through the motherboard now. So you have no cables going to your graphics card either. But the fact that you can put, 1900 watts through there,
yep,
is crazy. We have Old Man in the chat. Good to see you here. Of course, like always, of course, last week we didn't have a podcast, so... But it's good to see you here. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think they did redesign this connector as well.
It's just so much power coming through there. It's like, yeah, Old Man says it's like more than a space heater. Yeah, or a toaster, right? Like that's wild.
Yeah. So at least, you know, we know that. And that's more power
more than capable. Yeah.
That's more power than a 5090 will pull. It's just that they were testing to see, you know.
Right.
Everything. So, but yeah, pretty cool to see that. Great stuff there from Asus, obviously, too, because that is, yeah, that's awesome. So, we have a Ryzen 5 9600 X3D, Ryan.
I saw this.
This was essentially confirmed through a driver update for the Radeon AI Pro R9700. It came and this was on the product page. It's on an AMD product page that there's a Ryzen 5 9600X3D. So this essentially is going to be 6-core 12 thread with 3D V-cache, which means it's going to be excellent for gaming. And everybody knows that like that Ryzen 5 is such a good middle ground for so many people. 6-core 12 thread is great. And adding the 3D V-cache means it's going to be really good for gaming, and the price should be quite good and quite competitive as well. And I think,
wasn't there also like a 5 series, a 5000 series X3D part that they just announced as well?
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting, you know, just two new pieces. But yeah, like a Ryzen 5 9600 X3D will be like such a great value, I think.
Yeah, and I think for people who are like specifically building a PC just for gaming, I think that will give you like that little bit extra FPS that you may want where, you know, and yes. And again, 6-core 12 thread, like we talk about all the cores and everything, but like for most games, that's more than enough. And again, you're getting the 3D V-cache and it's going to be priced quite well. So no word yet on when it's going to come out, but I mean, if AMD is putting this on their product page by accident, it has to be coming out soon.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this would be like a perfect, like pretty reasonable price build. You match that up with $500-$600 GPU. Yep. And like
probably not like super hot, super high power, right? So you can throw this in a little gaming box. Yeah.
Be great. Yeah, it'd be a perfect little chip. So stay tuned for that. That we should have more information as more things come out. Are you ready for next gen Ryzen?
No, but I am ready for these speeds.
Yeah. So AMD Zen 6 processors, they're rumored to shatter 6 gigahertz clock speeds. Yeah, it says AMD is reportedly aiming for clock speeds well above 6 gigahertz. Potentially reaching 6.4 to 6.5 gigahertz. So Zen 6 will use 2-nanometer TSMC lithography. So that's going down there, down from 4-nanometer, which Zen 5 is based on. I mean, obviously, things are going to get faster, but that's very fast. Very, very fast. And with the node going down too, means it's not going to be like, because there was a time when AMD just kept on trying to go higher speed, but things were like super, super hot. And So hopefully, we would assume that's not the case here. Zen 6, it's going to come out second half of 2026, possibly, obviously, like with anything we see delays, could come out into early 2027. But I mean, that's something to look forward to.
Oh yeah. You know, for sure. I mean? Yeah. That's exciting. I mean, it's exciting to, like, you know, another barrier to pass, right? I remember the 1 gigahertz barrier long, long ago, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so excited to see that. We'll see, obviously, as we get closer to the end of this year into next year, we'll be talking about Zen 6 a lot. I'm going to be really excited for the new motherboards, of course, when it comes to all of that. Now, I saw this morning, Ryan, and I sent it to you.
You did.
And I was like, what is this? Because it is...
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. So this is a CPU cooler from a company I never heard of. It's their JF15K Diamond. And I'm going to show you the picture here. This is an air cooler. Look at this thing.
Well, there's like multiple things that are wild about this. The size, and then we'll talk about the price in a second, I'm sure. But yeah, this is so enormous.
It's from a company called Jiu Shark. Not sold in the US. I believe this is a Japanese company. And this is their crazy quad fan air 280 cooler.
Watt cooler. Yeah.
But like, there are coolers that can do 280 watt TDP, or at least like close to that. And they're dual fan, dual top. Yeah. But in any case, yeah, it's like, it's going to take up the entire inside of your system.
I want to see. Did they have pictures of it installed?
No.
Exactly. Well, okay. So go back. So it goes in that vertical orientation. So, like, is your GPU like right next to that thing? Because.
Or does it get oriented the other way?
So, but based on those screws there, like, to me, that those two screws are going to go into the middle of like an AMD bracket. You know what I mean? Those wouldn't be on the sides of the socket. They'd be on the top and bottom.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this works.
I'm like, maybe you have to move your GPU down to the next slot.
Yeah, to the next slot. I mean, I can see that. And there's like no room for like a top fans anywhere.
Right.
You know, so. Yeah. And like, look at all the heat pipes in this thing. I mean, there's 6 heat pipes, but like, how they go up into like every one of the heat sinks here. And it's pretty interesting. And the really interesting part about it is $40.
I don't know how they make any money on this.
Cause it's like not practical. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, 4 fans alone.
Yeah.
Is $40.
Yeah. So this thing, I would love to review this just to, I don't even know how it might not even fit in our review system, but yeah, pretty interesting. And it's like the fans, like these aren't 120s. These are 100mm fans too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just so weird. And there's some cool lighting on the top. I mean, look at that.
Yep. It reminds me of some like deep, cool designs.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. But yeah, just the monstrosity, but kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Old man in the chat said, just in time for 6+ gigahertz CPUs. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting cooler for sure. So but yeah, kind of funny. So this is actually really cool, and we've talked about this in the past, how there's like, you know, you have certain games and then there's launchers for every game, and you gotta load the launcher and you gotta do this and you gotta do that. And I know Steam has sometimes fixed that. Like if you have a game, say like we use like Far Cry games in our benchmarking, and you can buy it on Steam, and then when you play it, it loads the Ubisoft launcher. That's kind of how it works. Well, Xbox is doing the same thing with their PC app. So they're integrating with Steam and a handful of others. And when you open the Xbox app, it will show all of your games, not just your Windows, like your Xbox app Windows games, it will also show like your Steam library and everything else all in one, probably especially to for their ROG Xbox allies that are coming out, probably to integrate everything. But I do like that. Like, I do, I wish I just like had one app that I could see all my games and then I just launch it right from there. I wouldn't necessarily have to, you know, have like all these different launches for all these different games.
Yeah, I mean, think this is pretty much required, especially taking into consideration their handhelds coming out, because people aren't going to want to have to switch through launchers on this thing. They want it in one spot, handheld.
Especially for this. Yeah. So I like it. It's currently in preview for Xbox Insiders, but I think it's great. I think it's all, it's great for all of the different launchers that we have too. And being able to, and I would assume this will also be available, like, because this is a, the Xbox app or PC app is for all PCs, not just handhelds. So yeah, maybe I'll just be launching everything from this thing if it works correctly. So I'll have to check that out. But yeah, I really like that they were able to do that. I think it's, it just makes things so much easier, and about time somebody did it, to be honest.
Yeah.
With all the different launchers that we have. Talking about gaming, there was this really, really cool, I saw this and I was like, oh, this is super cool. So there's an NES emulator that essentially turns NES games 3D. Mm-hmm. And apparently this emulator has been in development for like 10 years.
Jeez. That's so pretty cool though.
Yeah. I'll play the video because I can like show you the photos, but like, I mean, if I bring this up, it like, you can't necessarily,
you can tell like what they're going for.
Yeah.
The videos.
Wait, where's the, is the video not in here?
Did you link to it?
No, I didn't. Let me see if I can bring this up here. Oh, wait, no, it's like weirdly full screen. But if you're watching the video here, it like takes, again, your 2D NES games, and like, as you can see, this is like a 3D game now. Like, it turns them essentially, so that's like the 2D
just version. Just the look, though, because...
Yeah. Just the look of the game.
Yeah, it doesn't change any of the gameplay.
Yeah, so here's like, 3D in that same game. It's pretty cool. It like essentially, it kind of like turns like an NES game into like a Super Nintendo game, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's super cool. It's $8.99, 40% off on Steam right now. If you want to check it out, obviously you have to provide your own ROMs and stuff, but yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Old man in the chat said it only works with specific games. There's a template of working games in the app. Okay. So yeah, it only works with specific games, but I think it's cool. It brings new life into those games, which I think is cool. And yeah, it's pretty interesting. We've seen a lot with emulators and things like that lately. So I think it's pretty cool. I don't think I'd play Nintendo games, but if you're a big Nintendo fan, I think it would be something that's pretty cool. So yeah, we're checking out. We have all the details, of course, in the article if you want to check it out. And that wraps up news for the week. I'll be taking a look at a motherboard next week. So we were talking about BTF. This is a BTF motherboard. So I'll be taking a look at the ROG Maximus Z890 Hero BTF. So this is our Z890 Hero, but it's the BTF version. So you're going to, of course, no connectors really on the front of the board. You have that connector for power and everything like that. And then all of your connectors are actually going to be on the back of the board. So stay tuned. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So stay tuned, of course, for that next week. And then I'll also be taking a look at an air cooler, and it's not... It's not like the one that we just showed you. This one is from Enermax, and it's their ETS T60D, which stands for digital, because this has one of those digital displays on it that's going to go ahead and show you like your CPU. And I believe it shows, I know it shows CPU temperature. I don't know what else it shows, but it shows a handful of things right there as well. Maybe fan speed as well. So
CPU and fan speed, yeah.
Yeah. So pretty cool dual fan, dual tower. So I'll have that for you as well. Any tech stuff you want to talk about before we get into our gaming stream?
I don't think so. Other than like it, we the 3D printing community's kind of been waiting, at least if you're a Bamboo Labs fan. They usually have like an anniversary or summer sale. It's going on now. There's some great deals on printers. Like,
okay,
I'm considering getting a second one. I don't know. I don't need it, but yeah, sometimes it'd be handy to have a second one.
So yeah, you could we'll do see. Two prints at the same time.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, no other than that. I replaced my watch. I got the Samsung Galaxy Watch 7. Been pretty happy with it. Other than battery life, like I'm so used to. I have my old one here, the Wise Watch.
Okay. Yeah.
That I would get a week out of charging.
Oh wow!
And I know I would get a week because every Wednesday night when we're podcasting, I have my charger down here, and that's when I would charge it when we're gaming. I would take it off and just charge it because I don't like the rubber, like, slowing my wrist down a little bit in gaming, so I would just charge it then. This one I got to charge just a little over every day, which I think is pretty standard.
Yeah, because like I have an Apple Watch and mine's every night I charge it. So
yeah,
I think this can go like 2 days max. You know,
yeah, and you can obviously make tweaks to it. Right, I don't have the screen on all the time. Okay, I make it wake up and
yeah.
Anyhow,
but you like it though?
Yeah, so far, yeah,
nice. Yeah, like tech stuff for me, nothing really. There wasn't anything good to like watch on the plane ride. I was like thinking maybe I'll watch like a tech movie or like a. There was just nothing good, like nothing good, you know. Old man said, I saw a video about Microsoft extending support for Windows 10 if you sign in and create an account. I mean, people are hanging on. Ryan's hanging on. Ryan is Windows 10. He still hasn't updated to Windows 11, so
extends it into 2026 with strings attached. Yeah.
If you sign in or create an account, interesting. But beyond that, I was traveling, and that's where our question of the week is going to come. Is like, Ryan, do you have like a specific laptop bag or travel bag for your tech? Like, what is the bag that you use?
I have a couple, but it depends on like how long I'm going to be gone and how much stuff I need to bring. But for the longest time before I had my thinner laptop, I have this Dell backpack that I bought specifically for my Dell laptop. I mean, it like had my Dell laptop has like red accents. This bag has a red interior. So it's just like it fit, and it had a cool like waterproof cover that kind of tucked into the bottom, you know? So it was just like really cool, rugged. And I love the backpack. I still have it. It's sitting right next to me. And then I have like a thinner, I forget the brand, but works really well with my thin laptop. But a lot of times I'm bringing like cameras and stuff. So I end up bringing like multiple bags.
Okay.
And everything, right? I got my camera bag, a laptop bag, whatever else. And then daily I use a Dell like briefcase, notebook type.
Okay.
Handheld to go back and forth to work.
Gotcha. I got this backpack a little while ago, and I took it with me to Taiwan, and I just took it across the country, and it is probably one of the best tech backpacks that I've used, and it's not necessarily a tech backpack. Like, it's not.
It just ends up working well for it.
It works so well. So this is from a brand called Unit One, which like they essentially like, here's the backpack, but they make like helmets for like riding bikes or like if you're on like a one wheel or like an e-bike helmet, you know what I mean? Like they make these helmets, but this backpack is just like, let me bring it up. Like one, I have like the green one, which I think looks awesome. And everything about this tech wise is designed so well. Let me see. Oh no, there's no like. Can I bring up more photos?
Gallery.
Where are you seeing that?
No, I was just wondering. Do they have a gallery? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's no like. But any case, so one, you know how like you fill up a backpack, and it gets like real, like just real thick. This stays thin, but you can still fit a lot in it. So like the reason that's super important, especially when you're traveling, is like so many times you have to put the backpack under the seat.
Yep.
And like if you have a bigger backpack, one, it won't fit, but two, it takes up all your like feet space. You know what I mean? So really, really like that. It also has a built-in tech, like a tech pouch in it. Like
you open cable pouch or whatever.
Yeah, like a cable pouch in it. And it's designed so well, it like hooks into the inside with like these hook magnets, like magnetizes in there. So you just like put it in there. It's one of the coolest things. Also, there's a laptop place, like a place to put a laptop in a place for a tablet. And that kind of like, you kind of just like hook that in, or like you put your laptop in and then there's like a magnetic kind of like thing that closes it, but it's magnetic. So you don't have to like try and hook it. It just like magnetically goes together.
Right.
Like for travel, it's literally the perfect thing. And then this top section right here is another pretty big pocket. So like all the stuff that you need really quickly just goes right in there. Like I had, you know, like a charger in there and some cables up top, really easy to access. Like, and it's, Ryan, it's super well built. Like whatever the...
yeah, I found a gallery on their page of it. It's awesome. It's got that... Does yours have the light bar?
No, so you have to buy the light bar.
Oh, okay.
But so this section right down here, Ryan's talking about there's like a light bar. These were made for like people who are commuting. So like you put the light bar on there. So, you know, you stand out so cars don't hit you if you're on like an electric bike or like a one wheel or something like that.
Well, it pairs up like with there's a remote that it'll act like a blinker on your bike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brake light. So like if you're turning, it'll like do a sliding indicator, it'll do a brake light, which is it's really, really
so creative. Like, yeah, see how it doesn't get thick? Like this is as thick as it gets.
Right.
But there's so much room inside. It's something like I might actually make a video on this YouTube channel because it's that good.
It looks like it has the weatherproof zippers too.
Yeah, it has the weatherproof zippers, in the bottom, there's a cover too.
Yep. Yeah, that's like this Dell has
saved. Yeah. It's in the bottom. But like you can see it's not crazy big, you know, like but it fits so much stuff and everything's designed well. I don't even think they show it with a tech pouch, which is crazy.
They didn't even show it opened up.
Yeah.
There's that blinker and everything.
Oh, so here's a tech pouch. So inside this tech pouch, which is a super nice tech pouch too, sits on these two like things that are magnetized.
I don't like how they spell cords with an H.
Yeah. But and then this is the thing I was talking about. So you put your laptop in, you put your tablet, and then this is like it's magnetized to click in. So you like it's one of the hardest things to do in like other bags that I've had in the past. But it's just designed so well. It's just awesome. Super comfortable too, like on the back, it has a lot of padding. Like this thing is yeah, I should probably make a video on this because it's, and like I said, super high quality zippers and everything like that. And yeah, just really, really nice. So, and again, it's not really like designed to be like a tech bag per se. It's like made by a company that like makes helmets for like e-bikes and, you know, being a commuter, I guess. But yeah, definitely, like I said, I think, really, I gotta have to make a video on it for you guys because it's really that good. So, cool. Old man in the chat said he bought the EPO Maker Tide 65. So, how many keyboards does he have these days, Ryan? You think?
I don't know, it's 30 probably.
Yeah, he buys keyboards like every week. And then he also bought a new Serta office, like Serta, like the company that makes like the mattresses.
I'm guessing so.
That's interesting. Let's see what. Oh, Serta Smart Layers. Yeah, they do make office chairs.
Oh man, those are comfy.
Yeah, they're like ones you just like.
Well, the like one's just like almost looks like a gamer chair in the top left there. Yeah.
Yeah. This one looks super comfy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool. All right. Well, guys, that is going to wrap up the podcast. Of course, Wednesday means that it is gaming night, so we're going to be running our gaming stream. So we will be doing that over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream. We're going to be up playing some games tonight. So I'm really excited because I took a week off, and now we're back to gaming. So if you want to continue to hang out with us, that is where we'll be. So again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out. Of course, old man in the chat and everybody else. And we'll see you guys next week.